2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to the 90th percentile. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. As always, alongside me, I have my co-host, my partner in crime, Matt Pajak of Loden Sports. Matt, we've talked a little bit of MLB Draft League over the last couple of weeks, it seems. This week, we actually have a player on from the MLB Draft League, somebody who's made some headlines. His name is Dennis Kasumba. He is a 19-year-old catcher, originally from Uganda, who had actually caught the attention of the baseball world via social media presence and some posts that got quite a bit of views. He's got a really interesting backstory as well. Lost both of his parents at a young age, was found working in a slaughterhouse by Paul Wafula, a Ugandan who played professionally in Japan. A few years later, he caught the eye of the MLB Draft League and some scouts and applied for a visa to come to the United States. He was actually denied the visa three times, finally gaining approval. Reason being that he didn't have close family ties to compel him to return to Uganda. So here we are. We have a really interesting player, someone I think is incredibly unique. And I think to some people, this could be sort of the final frontier in terms of the international market of baseball and places where we can find some really talented players. So what say you, Matt? Because this is a story that you brought to me. I didn't have a ton of background on it. I had seen some of the social media posts. But as I've read about him over the last couple of weeks, really interesting story.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it last week. And for anybody who's listening to this and is interested in the MLB Draft League or is wondering, you know, what the heck it is, we got a whole conversation with Sean Campbell. So go check that out. But Dennis Kasumba is kind of an interesting nugget of that league. There's a lot of really interesting pieces to that league from, you know, the fact that a lot of these guys are draft eligible. To a couple of international players. And in Dennis's case, I mean, you're talking about a 19-year-old kid from Uganda that, you know, he went viral on social media. This might be the most interesting story in baseball right now that's not Shohei Ohtani. And I think that's saying a ton, but this guy's gotten all kinds of media coverage. And he's taking the MLB Draft League by storm. It seems like, you know, from what I've heard every night, like you've got guys that have a chance to go play pro ball. You got guys that have a chance to play in the big leagues, you know, in the next 4 or 5 years. This kid's 19 years old and they got to pull him away from the autograph hounds. So he's definitely the talk of the draft league, the talk of the fans. He's been a joy to be around in the clubhouse from everything I've heard. We've got a lot of really unique and funny stories from, this is his first time being in America. So I think this is going to be a really interesting interview, something that I'm very much looking forward to. And Jeff's point, I mean, is Africa, and this is for probably a different podcast, is Africa the last frontier for discovering baseball talent? But yeah, Dennis Kasumba, this one will be fun.
Yeah, I think so for sure as well. Like it's something that we've heard talked about. I think is it Kyle Farnsworth who's been over there and done some work in Africa and kind of, I think he's actually talked about Kasumba as well, maybe worked with him too. So that was another guy that sort of brought that up to the forefront, but really interesting story here. And I know we didn't mention it in the opening, but he plays for the Frederick Keys. So if you're in that area and you find the story to be interesting, might be worthwhile to go out there, catch a game. If he's out there signing so many autographs, your kids might be able to go out there, get an autograph as well. So something to throw out there. Anything you wanted to sort of add in here before we bring Dennis and Matt?
Yeah. I mean, again, just touching on, you know, what you were saying before, you know, in regards to Africa and the future of the sport over there. I mean, I wasn't aware that they were playing baseball over there in any kind of organized fashion. The guy who found him, Peter Wafula, played professionally in Japan, which, as we've talked about on previous episodes, that's a really big league. So I know there are MLB clubs, so I'm not going to out anybody, that are over in Uganda and other parts of Africa actively beginning to identify interesting players over there and developing them. So yeah, this isn't just like a, you know, shot in the dark or, you know, one guy coming over. I think that there's an iceberg underneath this floating snow island in the ocean. So yeah, anyway, Dennis, this guy is wholesome, authentic, and heartwarming, I think are the three words I'm going to use to describe this guy. And yeah, let's bring him in here.
Let's do it.
I took 2 years of Spanish in high school. I took three more quarters of Spanish in college. And here I am. I work at a baseball publication, a baseball website, where speaking Spanish would be incredibly useful for my job. And I found that I don't retain almost any of it. But now I've got a different way to do this, a better way, with Babbel. Recently, I've been learning to speak Spanish with Babbel, and you can too. Because with Babbel, you can start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks. It's the second best way to learn a language. The best way is through immersion, where you live where the language is spoken natively and everyone's using it every day. But that's not possible for everyone. It's not possible for me. So what's the second best way to learn a language? Babbel, because you can start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. I'm one of those 1 in 5. You can check it off this summer. Why Babbel? Because it works. Instead of paying hundreds of dollars for a private tutor or fooling yourself with language apps that are little more than games, Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. One of the things I love about it is it gives you the language in a variety of ways. You see it visually, you hear it, but the one that I like the most is Babbel's advanced speech recognition tells you if you're saying the words properly. And if you're not, it helps you. And that's key for me. With Babbel, you can learn everything you need to have real-world conversations, from vocabulary words to culture, and all it takes is 10 minutes a day. So try Babbel. Here's our special limited-time deal for our listeners to get you started right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our podcast listeners at babbel.com/BA. That's 55% off at babbel.com/BA. That's BABBEL.com/BA. Rules and restrictions may apply. Summer's here, and like probably a lot of you guys, we have a garden. And I love that ability to grow a tomato and basically pluck it from the vine and be eating it 20 minutes later. But our garden is very sporadic. And you probably have the same situation where you don't always have exactly what you want at the time you want it. Well, summer's here, and it's also a perfect time for HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. This summer, HelloFresh is here to take the work out of eating well. Reach your goals with delicious, calorie-smart, and protein-smart lunch and dinner options, plus new vegan recipes, too. You get farm-to-table quality with every HelloFresh box. HelloFresh's seasonal ingredients are picked at peak ripeness and travel from the farm to your doorstep in less than 7 days for fresh flavor in every bite, even when your garden doesn't provide it. I know that when I've cooked with HelloFresh, it is so easy that even I can do it. And trust me, if I can do it, I promise you, you can. HelloFresh gives the directions, gives you the exact ingredients, gives you the exact proportions to make a very, very good meal. Fresh, quick, and easy. Go to HelloFresh.com/16BA2023. That's 16BA2023 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/16BA2023. B as in boy, A as in alpha, 2023. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
All right, welcome back. We're welcoming on our guest, Dennis Kasumba, catcher, Ugandan native of the Frederick Keys. We talked a little bit about this 19-year-old's experience coming here to the United States to play baseball and his dream of playing baseball. Dennis, welcome to the show. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners and so they can learn a little bit about who you are, and then we'll chat a little bit about your baseball journey here.
My name is Kasumba Dennis. I live in Uganda. My position is catcher, and I'm very happy to play baseball in the U.S. Frederick Keys.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, talk us to us a little bit about, you know, the baseball journey here and sort of what sparked your interest in the game of baseball that you've worked as hard as you had to pursue it?
I'm playing very hard because I want to become an MLB player, best catcher in MLB. And I'm working hard to change my grandmother's life and my siblings and other baseball players in Uganda.
At what age did you start playing baseball? And kind of what was the reason that you kind of started playing the game? I mean, another question here is, are they playing other sports over in Uganda? And what other sports are they playing? Because, you know, me and Jeff don't really have a ton of background on what it looks like over there and what types of sports and games that everybody plays. But how'd you kind of get drawn to baseball? Just kind of give us a little background on that.
Well, I started playing baseball. I was 8 years, and at that age, I was low. I was wanted to throw a lot. Sometimes I get stones and I get a tee, and I hit myself. Sometimes I miss. Sometimes I hit, but I don't know baseball. But the time I meet a coach called Mr. John Bosco Sempa, he was having a baseball and glove and the balls. And I told him, can I use that stone and that stick? Then he called me, no, this is not stick. This is not ball. This is not stone. This is not tee. Can I take you to the baseball pitch? By then, we have not having a baseball field. We was using a small baseball football pitch. It was very, very small. Yeah, and I started playing baseball. He teach me this is baseball. This is glove. By then, I was taking care of my grandmother. And I play a not long time because I was working at slaughterhouse where they cut cows, goat. Sometimes I spend a lot of time there because I was need to work hard at work for my grandmother. And I left baseball at 8 years because when I was going to the baseball pitch, I was not getting any money. I was not getting any food because I was going there to pass time. When I come to home, I have no food. But I was playing very well because even me, I was not the best person to throw. I was not the best person to hit. But I was learning. I was wanted to learn how can I throw hard. Sometimes I told my coach, can I throw with you a lot? And said, no, you're still weak. You can't play baseball. You can't throw a lot. And when I leave the baseball and I go to work in Sota House, my coach come back. He was in Japan. But when he's coming to Uganda, he starts looking for me at the slaughterhouse where I was working. Then I'm coming back in baseball. I was 14 years.
That's a really unique story because it sounds like all of it's just for the love of the game. I mean, if anybody's ever heard the phrase for the love of the game, I think that's it to a T. But the second thing there is kind of interesting is it sounds like you overcame a lot of adversity even back in Uganda with the sport of baseball specifically in that you know, you're showing up to the baseball pitch and, you know, you're not the biggest or the strongest guy and you just kind of stayed with it because you loved it. If I'm hearing you correctly, I mean, that's pretty remarkable. Something that I want to talk about a little bit is kind of the viral nature with which you've been discovered. You're famous on the internet for a number of different videos of you working really hard and putting time into your craft and, you know, nothing but respect for the hustle. I got to ask you, in regards to some of these videos, we saw one recently where you're standing on some dumbbells and swinging the bat in the gym. Where do you get these ideas for these videos and these different exercises that you're doing in the videos?
When my coach come back to pick me from Slaughterhouse to put me in baseball again, he told me, when you come to the baseball pitch, I'll get you money for your grandmother to get a food, and I take you back to school. When you come to the baseball and play baseball, when you put your effort in baseball, I can support you. But when you don't put effort in baseball, I can't do anything to you. Because he told me you never go back to Slaughterhouse because a lot of guys they're using drugs, they're using alcohol, and he told me, I tried to test the alcohol. Do you try to drugs? I said no, because my grandmother told me, yes, you go to Slaughterhouse to work for me, but believe in God. Don't use alcohol, don't use drugs, because I lose you. I will lose you. Then when the coach take me to the baseball pitch, he told me, when you're using alcohol, drugs, you never go to another country. Because when you go to another country, they first put you in medical to see when you don't have alcohol, you don't have drugs. Then I put in my mind, oh, when I'm using these things, I can't go anywhere in baseball. Then I start focus on baseball because I believe in God. I can't use anything, and I want to work hard for my grandmother. That's why I put more effort in baseball, and I focus because I see when Coach Paul told me he is going to give me money for food, I think I need to put more effort to every time my coach to be happy with me. And when I was scrolling on the internet, and I see on YouTube, and I see Salvador Perez, his catching is very, very nice, because my first time to see the video of Salvador, he broke the ball and the ball passed to his knee. And the runner go to the third, but when he was passed to the third, the Salvador Perez throw ball to third and get him out. I said, oh wow, he's very quick. What he's using? When I check his practice, is very hard and it's normal. But for me, I don't have a coach every day, and I started planning what can I use. Then I start making my own part, like wooden. I use wood to become to use like wooden bat. Then I start using a bottle on my legs to get a footwork, because my muscle is weak. Because sometimes I was working. I was going baseball field without eating anything. My body is weak. When I don't put anything in my leg, I think it's nothing to do. I don't get power. Because I'm weak, I need to put something heavy on my leg to keep my legs strong. Then I start using tires, because in Salvador Perez is quick, is very reaction, is reaction a lot. And when I'm using tire, my steps becoming quick, but it's not wide. It's short step every time. But when I get opportunity to go to the game, I throw a lot, because it's like when I throw, I'm quick, but even me, sometimes I throw a good pop time, and I say, that is me, because I'm quick sometimes. That's why I make my own equipment because I want to become MLB and I want to become a better person in baseball.
Man, that's awesome. It sounds like Salvador Perez is a real inspiration for you, huh?
Yes.
That's great.
Sometimes I don't give excuses. I don't have this. I don't have this. That's why I can't. If someone told me, why are you not working hard? I don't give him excuses. I can't throw hard because I don't have a good staff. But I use what I have to make a good throw. Like when I get a good team to compete with a good players, I can fit with them.
Yeah, there's no doubt you're resourceful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're showing exactly why you're here, just because of that work ethic and focus on doing the right things all the time. Kind of switching gears a little bit here. I'm interested to ask, this is, you're coming to America for the first time. This is your first experience in this country. What did you think it would be like in the United States, and how is it different from what you had initially imagined?
At first, the field, baseball field, is very, very nice. I was dreaming to play in a good field like this, like Frederick Keys. It was very nice, and I never played at night in Uganda, but here I play tonight. Sometimes at night in Uganda, I told Coach Paul, how the MLB they play at night, because even morning, we do some mistakes, but they play at night. They can't see the ball because the ball is very small. He said, no, they have a lot of lights. And I can't, but now I see, yes, I can see the ball. And the food, and I get a chance to meet Mr. Rena. He was playing MLB a lot, more than 10 years. And he gave me a lot of... It gave me a lot of skills to use, because Mr. Rena and Mr. Salvador Perez, they are same. They have the same skill. They are good. When I have a Mr. Rena, it means I have a Salvador Perez, because he's having a good skills in catching, in batting. And I met Mr. Jack Jones, who was also a good hitter. And every time I spend a lot of time with him in batting cage and teach me, don't pull, don't do like this. Every time you need to focus on your shoulders to hit. Don't pull. Every time, don't pull. Because sometimes I watch his videos, he do like this and hit a lot of home runs. Sometimes I ask him, Mr. Jack, I hit home run, but I see him do like this. He said, no, it's like this, but the ball's going like this. And I put in my mind, oh, every time I need to do like this. It means every day I learn a lot.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions for you in regards to things that you've seen for the first time. That's a really interesting one about playing at night and playing under the lights. That's not even something that I considered, but that's really interesting. But I do want to talk to you a little bit about your first experience with an escalator. What was that like?
My first time, I was Mr. Joshua William and Mr. Sean Kemba. I first saw the escalator is going up. And I told Mr. Sean, what is that? He told me, you want to test? You want, already we go up. Ah, I just stand. And they going up. I said, can I go down again? He said, oh, you can go down and you can up again. Yeah, it was very, very nice. I enjoyed that time. Even now, when I go to the hotel, to the elevator, I don't want to use the code ladder. No, I don't want to use. I want to go to elevator.
This guy, it gives me a greater appreciation for elevators and escalators when I hear stories like that. Because again, it's not the things that we think about here, but. Oh, man, it's awesome to hear you talk about that. All right, so I got another one for you, and I just got this nugget this morning from one of your teammates. All right. He said that you discovered coffee, and you were wondering why you couldn't sleep at night, and then they told you that the reason why you're having trouble sleeping is because you're drinking coffee so late.
Yes. At my first time, I tried to take coffee, but the coffee was not good in tasting, but next day I feel cold, and I try to coffee, and I say I can't try this coffee. Then I tried another cup, but I get the cup is very nice. I take five, but when I was taking. The Hindi, my roommate is Hindi, he's called Hindi, he's also Kacha. He told me, oh no, what have you done? No. You can't sleep. I told him, I'm strong. I'm going to sleep. He called Mr. Rena. Mr. Rena called me, oh, what have you done? You're not going to sleep all day. I said, no, I'm going to sleep. I can't. This is only tea. I'm going to sleep. But I sleep at 4:30. It was 4:50. And I wake up at 6.
That's funny. I'm sure now you know that you don't drink coffee after 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. But I don't take... I don't take coffee at the midnight, the midday, because Mr. Rena, he don't want me to take coffee because he knows I not sleep.
Yeah, and I can say, as someone who was 19 and started drinking coffee, you kind of don't think about that. You feel invincible. You're like, I have so much energy, I can get so much done, and then all of a sudden you realize it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're still awake because you drank too much coffee. So been there for sure. I understand. I wanted to ask, like, in the same sort of vein about food, you know, obviously you're here in the United States. It's a new culture. Certainly the diet here, I would imagine, is different from the food and the diet there in Uganda. Do you have any new favorite foods, and sort of how has it been different from what you were used to eating back home?
In Uganda, we eat a rice, and we put a cabbage as a sauce, and but in cabbage, our cabbage we cut small, and in cabbage we put tomato, and even tomato we cut small. Then we cook, but here when I come here, when I go with my first time to go with Mr. Joshua, they get a different cabbage. it's called slides. It's very big. I told him no, I can't eat. But next time when we go to, because every time Mr. Rena to take me to lunch, dinner, but he told me, Mr. Leonard told me, you need to eat. This is a very, very good in your body. I said, no, this is not very good in my body because I eat a lot in Uganda. This is very good. This is very good in Uganda. I eat a lot in Uganda. I can't eat here. This is also big, and they can't cook. But the next day, we went to Chinese, the restaurant having magic, the magic, the slowing, and I put here, habish, they call
it. Hibachi?
Hibachi, yes.
Yeah,
my favorite place. And they give me chicken, they called lettuce, the small thing, shrimp.
Yep.
Yeah, that's my first time to eat. It was very, very nice. At my first, I eat a lot and get a sick. But the next day, Mr. Sean told me, you need to eat, because I was very small. My body was very small. Even my kilos is very slow. And he told me, when you want to become, when you become, you need to eat. Every time he told me, I'm going to measure you every time, every week. Oh, I said, oh, it means I need to eat a lot. When the guys are on our team, my teammates, they hit 1-1, I hit 4-4. And even that's why I hit a food and become I love it, because when I eat fast too, this is good. I can eat a lot. Yes, I like food, because in Uganda we don't eat chicken a lot and meat.
I mean, needless to say, it sounds like you're a hibachi fan.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very nice. They have a magic. They burning fire. Sometimes I scared. Then they give this meat. They throw meat, like catch it.
That's awesome.
The full experience.
Yeah, you got the full play with your food before you eat it.
Yes, I eat a lot because in Uganda I was very tall. I was working hard, but very tall. But here I working hard and I eat a lot, because even now I have a stomach.
There you go.
I mean, look, like, if you're going to play catcher at a high level, you see those guys. I mean, a couple weeks ago, I heard you were next to Adley Rushman, and you met him. He's got 100 pounds on you.
Yeah.
What was that experience like? Talk to us a little bit about meeting Adley Rushman. The Orioles catcher.
Another catcher?
Yeah, the catcher for the Orioles.
Oh yes, last time, that's my first time to go to the biggest stadium, who have four floors, first floor, second floor, third floor. It was very, very, very nice, and I met another great catcher, because when I go to his batting, to see his batting, he was hitting with a small TV, with small TV, and check his swing. And I say, oh, when you swing, you don't swing like this, only swing. But you need to, when you in batting cage, you need to check yourself how your swing goes. And I meet the manager and pitcher who threw 101.
I heard that when you met the catcher.
Yes,
His legs were big.
Yes, it's very, very big. It's very big. I was very, very happy to meet him.
That's, you're gonna you keep eating that hibachi and you're gonna get as big as Adley Rushman.
Oh,
yeah, get that power for sure. Adley's got that, and lots of protein from the hibachi is gonna do that for you for sure. I want to ask you a little bit about the MLB Draft League experience. You're, of course, the first Ugandan player to play in the MLB Draft League. How do you feel about that? And sort of a follow-up, do you think your journey will inspire more players back home to follow a similar dream path?
First, I thank God because he gave me this opportunity. And I'm very, very, very happy because a lot of kids in Uganda, they're playing baseball. And they, some players, they left baseball because they think in baseball, the baseball in Uganda, they don't have a chance. The baseball players in Uganda, they think you put a lot of effort in baseball, but after you look for the, you leave baseball and start another life, but when they see me, because a lot of baseball players in Uganda, all baseball players, they know me because in Uganda, when they have a national team, I can't catch them. I go to and catch them because I want to learn everything. When they go national team pitchers, I can't help them a lot. Some pitchers, they left in baseball, they go to another things. But other kids, when they hear I'm going to US, they starting coming back because they see Kasumba is he take a lot of baseball in Uganda. Now finally he's going to US to play baseball. Other guys, they told me before, Kasumba, you're working hard, but where did you get the money? I said, sometimes I go to my job in farm and make and get job. They told me, why you don't leave baseball and you go to work to get money? I said, I told them, when the baseball is not doing anything in my life, I'm going to get another job. I lived my mother's house because some people told me you become old, but why you sleep at your mother's house? Because some guys they left their homes, they get the rooms. Sometimes they ask me, can you come to our house? I said no, I can't. I need to take care of my grandmother, and they told me, How long do you stay to your grandmother? Sometimes I sleep and think because in my grandmother, I take a lot of challenge. We have three rooms. We have three rooms. My first grandmother sleep in this in first room with my siblings, girls. Then another grandmother, he slept with my little brothers in the second room. Then me, the room they called dining, in the place where people's coming. Then, but me, I put all I have mattresses, but every night I put my mattress in the room. Sometimes I wake up early because I don't want people to see me. I sleep there. That is my first challenge when I was in my grandmother's house. But when people told me, you become old, you can't sleep at your mother's house. Sometimes I, that is true. But another thing I believe, when I working hard in baseball, I can go to another. I can go to the teams' rooms. Then I can become a better person. But because right now I'm in Frederick Hay Hotel, I have my bedroom. I sleep with my friend. But when I go to my grandmother, it's the same. They told me, yes, you're coming back, but you're going to the same house. But I don't care, because if God gave me this opportunity to come to US to play baseball, it means he have another plan for my life. That's why when I go to Uganda, I'm going to keep teaching baseball for our kids. And I tell them, yes, I spend a lot of years in Uganda, but finally the God answer my players. And I went to US because US it was my best. It's a place where the guys playing a lot baseball, because in Frederick they throw 98. In Uganda they're throwing 85, 84. But my first time I was not good in catching them because the speed is very faster. But when Coach Shirena told me, no, this guy is throwing a lot, but you need to focus where the ball is coming. Focus where the ball is coming. Focus. Sometimes the slider is going another direction, but you need to react on the ball. That's why I'm using every time when I think the pitcher is throwing 98, I say, oh, I need to do what Mr. Rena told me. Oh, and I catch it, because my aim is not here. My aim, I put in my mind, I need to catch 101, 105 in my mind. This is not the highest velocity in my mind.
Yeah, so you mentioned a lot of different things there, and we actually have this question lined up for you in regards to the speed of the game. And I want to talk about that a little bit. First off, how are your thumbs feeling from catching the faster pitches?
Every time I don't sleep every time. Even when Coach Trina take me to hotel, I didn't sleep. Every time I start focusing. Today I catch a pitcher throwing 98, 99, but today I feel some pain here. What can I use? What can I use to not get feeling pain? I start remembering Coach told me to catch here, because Coach Rena get a lot of experience in games. He told me he played that in different teams, like 10 teams, and he faced a lot of pitchers' speed, and his hand is still nice, he's still catching. It means every time you need to focus when the ball's coming, you need to watch, then you put. Because when in my catching, he told me when I catch, I do like this. And I smell on the ball. It's like when the ball is coming, I do like this. Then I smile. I feel the smile like this. It means when I catching the ball, it's coming. It means I don't feel pain here on my legs. Yes.
Well, that's good, because you gotta save those thumbs when they throw hard.
Yes, and I want to catch a speed pitchers only, because I want to learn when I get opportunity to go to MLB, can I catch a 105? Every time I ask myself when I get a chance to go to MLB, when I get an opportunity, can I catch 95? And I said, yes, I can, because when I can catch a 98, 99, it means I can catch the 105.
Well, if you're going to catch Ohtani someday, you got to stay at it.
Yes.
So, all right, we got one more question here for you, and then we'll let you go about your business. And this has been a pleasure having you on. I really appreciate you coming, and I know Jeff feels the same. But you've had this experience. You experienced a much faster game here in the United States. You're going back to Uganda soon. What's next for you?
When I go back to Uganda, I want to coach Rena and Mr. Shun and Mr. Joshua to give me equipment, because when I was here, I faced a lot of challenges in batting, and I want to go back to focus on batting and keep working hard, because my journey is still going. I don't want to stop, and I want to keep focusing on my practice and focus on my skills, so that I can get another opportunity to come back.
Yeah, you got to come back for the hibachi, and come back for more fun times with your guy Renee. He's over there working wonders.
Yes, and to teach baseball, and to give Ugandan kids another skill, because when I was here in Uganda, it's a lot of different, because in Uganda, coach can toss you and hit. But here, when you're the best in Uganda, the best. But when you come here, you become a low. Because a lot of guys here, they are doing good.
Well, I'm sure that when you get back home and you tell everybody all the stories about the escalators and when to drink coffee and when not to drink coffee, I'm sure they're going to eat all that up. And that's, I mean, I can't say enough how excited we are for, you know, the opportunity that you've had here, and look forward to continuing to follow your journey. And, you know, hopefully you get to come back again next year and you work on that bat, you get a little bit bigger, you got to add weight, be big as Adley Rutschman someday.
Yes. I'm going to tell them everything, because I love, when I come here, I love everything. I love the place, because sometimes we go to Chipoli with the Mr. Rena, and we went to watch movie. Last time I went to watch movie, John's, and I when the Jones feel cold, I'm also we feel cold.
That's awesome.
Yes, I enjoy it. It was very, very, very nice.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Dennis, I want to thank you for Jeff, for Matt, for Dennis Kasumba of the MLB Draft League and the Frederick Keys. I want to thank you for your time. This was a very inspiring podcast, a really interesting conversation. And I think our listeners are leaving today learning a little bit more about the power of baseball throughout the world. So I want to thank you for that, and best of luck on the rest of your journey.
Yeah, thank Dennis, you. Go get that work in.
Thank you, Sam.